Hey friends, we're Pastors Jason and Tiffany Sherry, and we want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Today, we are in our Advent series in anticipation of the coming Messiah. As followers of Jesus, Advent is meant to be a reminder of what the entrance of Jesus means to us.
It's our prayer today that you open your heart and hear what God has to say to you. Let's go to the message.
Since the fall of man, there's been a battle between God and mankind. You know, God created us for purpose. He created us for dominion. He created us for worship. But he also gave us a choice. And the choice led us to a separation from our God-given nature. As people, we were acting against our nature, and that led to institution of the law. See, our conversation today started pre-law, pre-Moses. But our actions, our disobedience against God, this conflict led to the institution of the law, a standard that we have to attain in order to return from the place that we were created to be in. But the law created another battle because the law was a standard that we simply can't live up to. It's a standard that we can't keep, yet it's a standard that we must attain in order to restore relationship. When the Old Testament prophets would prophesy of the Messiah, they were saying, there's one that's coming to end the conflict. There's one that's coming that can save us from this agonizing struggle that's separating us from our nature, from our home, from our purpose, from our origin. The promise of Messiah, the promise of Jesus, was a promise to end the conflict and to bring us to a place of peace with God. Today our focus is peace. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, you've heard it said last week. We said it this week during worship. I want to continue to read this verse all throughout this season of Advent. In Isaiah 9, chapter 2, it says, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. See, this was the prophecy of Jesus. The people that have been walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, for you have multiplied the nations, and you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice as they divide the spoil. For you, Jesus, Messiah, the chosen one, for you have broken the yoke of burden and the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandals from the noisy battle and garments that are rolled in blood, they will be used for burning and fuel of fire, because unto us a child is born, because unto us a son is given. It says the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. This is why Christmas is such a monumental time, because it marks the beginning of the end of the war between God and mankind. The crazy thing is that in this war, all of hell was fighting to keep mankind, but heaven knew that we, mankind, didn't want to be in darkness. And so God didn't need to send a warrior. He needed to send a bridge to get us from darkness to light, to get us across the divide. There's a song that was popular in 90s Christian music that says, there's a bridge to cross the great divide. And then it says, because there's a cross that bridges the great divide. There was a cross of Jesus that came to be our bridge of unity with God and man. Amen. Hallelujah. God sent a bridge. It's the gift of grace that could satisfy the requirement of the law and still love perfectly, so to make known a way of escape, and all are welcome in this kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. See, under the law, God has to deal with mankind through the law, according to the law. Some have said this, that the God of the Old Testament was a God of judgment, and the God of the New Testament was a God of grace. See, I don't believe we have two different gods. I believe God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so we tend to see the judgment of God in the Old Testament, yet the favor of God in the New Testament, but it's not any different. See, God was dealing with mankind in the Old Testament according to the law. In the New Testament, he's still dealing with mankind according to the law. But you know where he put the judgment? He placed it all on Jesus. See, the God that was required by the law to administer judgment according to sin did that. He didn't change his stance, but he administered all the judgment that there ever needed to be on the person of Jesus, so that the God of grace could be administered unto us, his children. Amen. Hallelujah. That was nothing that you did, but 100% what Jesus did. Amen. Praise God. Don't hear me wrong. It's always been about judgment of sin while striving to restore relationship. But God is a God of grace. And where there was a requirement of judgment that caused tension, he poured that out on his only son, who put it to death once and for all and rose again victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at an example of this. We see it in the story of Jonah. We see it many, many places in the Bible, but I want to read today out of the story of Jonah. So Jonah is found in the Old Testament. The book is called Jonah, and you can read the entire thing. I'm going to give some highlights today. Jonah was called to go to a wicked city called Nineveh and to preach to them so that the city of Nineveh wouldn't be destroyed. Very strong feelings about Nineveh, and Jonah actually wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. God's saying, go and preach to them so that they will be spared, but Jonah wanted Nineveh to be wiped out. He didn't like them. And so he ran from God's call. Jonah was warring against his purpose. He was from a place, I'm just going to give you some context. Jonah was from a place called Joppa, which was about 500 miles from Nineveh. Jonah chose to run away from his purpose and to go the opposite direction to a place called Tarshish, which was about 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. This would be like God calling you to go to Phoenix, and you said, nope, I'm going to Orlando. It's about the same. He was running away from his purpose. Jonah, in chapter 1 and verse 4, he's trying to flee to Tarshish. And we pick up the story where it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Jonah was on a boat. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. I want you to see this conflict, and I want you to see grace in this story. God had to deal with Jonah according to his disobedience. Yet, God was always and is always a God of grace. The Lord sent out a great wind. I've heard people say, well, it wasn't really the Lord that sent the wind. That was just their vernacular or terminology. I don't agree with that. I think when it says the Lord sent out a wind, that it means the Lord sent out a great wind, and I'll tell you why. See, the wind isn't the storm yet, but the wind is a sign that the storm is coming. The wind isn't the storm yet, but when you hear that wind start blowing, you start to feel it, you think, there's something coming in. It's blowing in. There's supposed to be some wind in Carlsbad in the next 2 days. I know you can't believe that because it's never windy here, but we're going to have some wind the next couple days. Anybody look at the temperature for Tuesday? It's cold. What's the wind blowing in? Colder weather, right? It's not cold today. It's going to be 70 degrees today. It's not cold tomorrow, but the wind's blowing in. And the wind is bringing a change. The wind is showing us that a change is coming, that a storm is coming. God brought the wind as a sign of unrest, a warning, don't step out on your own. See, the wind should not incite fear in the believer, but the wind should incite obedience in the believer. There's a wind coming. That means a storm is on the way. I need to cling to Jesus. I need to hold on to Jesus. If I need to turn around and go the other way because I'm headed in the wrong direction, then I need to turn around and run to Jesus. Amen? Verse 5. Of chapter 1 of Jonah. It says, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and he threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and fast asleep. And the captain came to him and said unto him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah, and they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What's your occupation? Where did you come from? What's your country? And what are your people? And so he said to them, I'm Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made this sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this to us? For these men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? The sea was growing more tempestuous, and he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will be calm for you, for I know the tempest is because of me. See, the people in the boat weren't willing to sacrifice themselves on behalf of Jonah. Jonah had brought a storm upon himself. Sometimes we bring a storm upon ourselves. I want you to look at this because before the storm came, God gave him an out because he brought the wind. He could have said, hold on, guys. I'm running from the Lord God that made this sea. Turn around and go back or everybody on this boat's going to die. And they would have turned around and Jonah would have been on his way. When the wind came as a warning, he chose to continue ahead and to double down. Many times we decide to double down when we know the storm is coming because we're stubborn. I mean, you're not stubborn, but the person next to you is stubborn, right? All right. Don't look at them. We're going to have some cots in the Familia Center if anybody needs a place to sleep tonight. The people in the boat were not willing to help Jonah get out of his situation. See, when I'm not at peace with my purpose, it creates an unhealthy codependency. Instead of our dependence on God, we depend on others to bail us out. We place our hope in a relationship in order to find contentment. Sometimes we place our well-being of our minds in the things that we have, our possessions. And then when the relationship ends, when the stuff isn't enough, we're lost, we're hopeless, we're in distress. Verse 13. Jonah chapter 1, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, and they said, "We pray, O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." And so they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. See, they were safe, but now Jonah was in a mess. Right? It says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Verse 17. I want you to look at this because the last time we saw this in this story, it says, the Lord brought wind as a warning that a storm was coming. And the Lord brought the storm because he had to deal with the disobedience according to the law. But look at what God did in the midst of this. I want to show it to you. It says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. What? The Lord had prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Hold on. I thought he was mad at Jonah because Jonah disobeyed him. No, God wasn't mad. He just had to deal with Jonah according to the law. So God did what he had to do. He brought wind so that he warned Jonah. He brought a storm because Jonah refused to obey. But in the middle of the storm, God also is a God of grace. So the same God that had to pour out judgment also provided a way of escape. This is the same God that we serve today. The difference is when God poured out the judgment, he didn't pour it out on you or me. He poured it out on Jesus. Amen? He provided a way of escape, just like he provided a way of escape for Jonah. This was 100% Jonah's fault. 100%. Nobody else's fault but Jonah's. And God could have said, forget you, I told you, I even warned you. And you did nothing. But what did God do? I'll send a fish, to swallow you. Whales, have you ever been to SeaWorld? Have you ever seen Shamu? Now, I know that they're really good with the whale. There's a reason why they call that whale a killer whale. Whales don't swallow people, transport them 2,500 miles in the sea, and then just spit them up on the land. But the last instructions that God gave the whale was to be in this sea, be a predator, survive, be fruitful, multiply, filled sea, right? This was the instruction in Genesis. But the same God that created the whale and instructed the whale said, hey, I have a new instruction for you. I'm going to send you this dude. He's going to look really good. I don't want you to eat him. Don't chew him up as much as you want to. I just want you to gently swallow him so that he can hang out in your stomach for a little while, and then I want you to throw him up on the land. What? It says that God prepared a great fish. I wonder what that preparation was like. I wonder if the fish fought back, if the whale said, nah, I really want to eat this dude. I wonder if he saw him and his mouth started watering, and God's like, don't you do it. Don't you eat him. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. See, the whale was not punishment for Jonah. The whale was grace for Jonah. The whale was the grace of God. Isn't it interesting that Joni? We got a nickname now. Joni and the whales. Sounds like a band, doesn't it? Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, just like Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Our grace, our redemption. Amen. It says, and then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he cried out to the Lord. I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction, he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard me. And so the Lord, it says, so the Lord spoke to the fish. And the fish vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. See, Jonah didn't get out of his calling just because he chose to go the other way. God gave him grace in the moment, transported him, you'll see that in a minute, transported him where he needed to go. Jonah repented or turned the other way spiritually, but also he turned the other way physically. And he arrived in this place, and God said, now. We had to go through all of that, but I kept you safe, and I need you to go to Nineveh. I know you don't like them, but I need you to go. And I need you to preach the message that I tell you. And so Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was a great city. It was a three-day journey in extent. But Jonah, look, began to enter the city on the first day's walk. The whale took him to Nineveh. And then he cried out and said, yet in 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. He began to preach what God had told him to preach. See, when Jonah was thrown overboard, he was exposed to an element that he was not designed for. I want you to get that. See, the storm may have been brought on by you, but you weren't designed for the storm. You were designed for peace. I'm going to say it again. The storm may have been brought on by you, but the storm was not designed for you. Even though in my rebellion I may step out of the glory of God, he was wounded for my transgressions. Amen? So even in my rebellion, he was wounded for my transgressions. For the child of God, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the thing that caused the conflict in the first place, the chastisement of my peace, was on him. Amen? Hallelujah. The thing that brought me into a place with peace was on Jesus. See, God didn't keep Jonah from the storm, but he kept him together in the storm. Psalm 119, verse 8, David said, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. See, in my rebellion, I may try to set up camp in some sketchy places, but that's not my story. Redemption sent Jesus to hell for me. And when I got to the room that transgressions had opened for me, I opened the door and I saw Jesus in the spot that I thought I was supposed to occupy. Amen? Hallelujah. That room was set aside for me. That prison was set aside for me. But I opened the door and Jesus was already there. See, when I cried out to Jesus, I said, I don't know how to get out of this place. I don't know how to get out of this mess that I made. I thank you for bringing this whale, for bringing this fish to swallow me. And I know that there was turmoil because of the storm. How do I get back into this place? Then Jesus speaks to the fish, and he transports you back to your purpose. Amen. Jesus, come and save me. Jesus says this, I'm the one who lives. I'm the one who was dead, and behold, now I am alive forevermore. I have the keys to death, to hell, and to the grave, and I've got a set of keys for you. And they're the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, Jesus came to bring peace, not only peace with God, but peace in the middle of the storm. Even if I caused it, I have an advocate with the Father that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? Amen. See, it's very interesting that God used that whale to transport Jonah to Nineveh and back to his purpose. God is able to use your transgression as transportation for your purpose if you surrender to him. See, many of us, we transgress and we just want to give up. We feel shame in our life and we want to give up. But I'm here to tell you today, don't give up. Turn it over to him. And as you surrender to him, he uses your transgression for your transportation to return you to your purpose and redeem what the enemy came to steal. Jesus, my peace, means there's peace in my purpose. See, many times we get so messed up when we have the mindset that God is a God of punishment, that bad things in my life are a result of my sin. I want you to hear me. It has always been the same pattern of judgment and grace, but I said it before and I can't say it enough. The big difference now is that all of the judgment was already poured out on the person of Jesus. The judgment was poured out on Jesus. I'll say it again. The judgment was poured out on Jesus. And grace in the resurrection is your gift. Amen? It's what you identify with. Paul said it this way, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us that don't walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. Amen. See, when Jesus came, he brought us peace with God by fulfilling the law and then taking the judgment part on himself, which allowed the grace to be poured on us. Amen? Let me show you another example in Scripture in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. This is still talking about peace. Mark chapter 4, 35, it says, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. But when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him to say, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And then he arose, rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, Jesus was showing his disciples that Messiah is here. No longer do we have to wonder if the storm is bringing judgment. See, we see a contrast here between Nineveh and Jonah's story and Jesus in the Sea of Galilee. They're both in a boat. There's both a storm. The wind comes. But when the storm came in Jonah's case, Jonah had to be judged, and God provided grace in the middle of it. But it was all on Jonah. But in this case, Jesus was here, and he was showing us a picture of what our life would be after resurrection. When the storm came, the wind blew, and Jesus was showing them that this is no longer the same because peace has now come. Messiah is now here. And so he stood up and he said, peace be still. And the wind stopped to blow and the waves calmed down. See, some winds are meant to be spoken to instead of spoken about. I believe that there's storms that we don't speak to because we think God sent them. So when the wind starts to blow and the waves start to unsettle your ground, our response needs to confidently be, I am in Christ Jesus, and peace has come to me. And so peace be still. Amen. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. One more mention of wind before I close. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire that set on each one of them, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I believe prophetically today that God is blowing a fresh wind in the hearts of people. See, this is not the violent kind of wind. This is the peaceful kind of wind. This is the wind that brings a crispness in the air. I believe that the wind that Holy Spirit is blowing through His church is powerful, but it's not for destruction, it's for change. The wind is the breath of God. It's the same breath that gave life to Adam. See, I declare today that the wind of God that was brought by Holy Spirit is changing situations miraculously today. From this moment and into the coming year, I believe that the chains of condemnation, unworthiness that have shackled you are being broken off of you. Because of every breath that you are taking, it's supernaturally breathing in the revelation that we are at peace with God. And the revelation of peace is unlocking a freedom in your life. It's a freedom from past hurts. It's a freedom from past failures. It's a miraculous restoration that's happening in your life. I speak that by the Spirit of God today. So breathe, church. Breathe, church. Let God's Spirit bring you to a place of perfect peace. I want to bring a closing thought today as the worship team begins to play. I think this one really defines that word that God gave to us. And I believe that it defines where many of us are at. Many of the storms and the challenges in life that we face that we can't get over, we didn't ask for. You know, there are many of us that struggle on a daily because we were abused as a kid. We didn't ask for it. Many of us struggle on a daily because of situations that we just found ourselves in that brought us trauma, that brought us abuse. I believe those things are very real. And what's not the transformed or transferred. And we begin to pass those things generation to generation, and I'm tired of the cycle happening in the lives of our familia. And we've got to break it. We've got to break it. You know, in my life, I talk a lot about the struggles that I've gone through personally, and it was about a year ago that I found out that I wasn't the only one in my family that struggles with some of these same things. And I had a family member, and I have not gotten permission to share this, and so I won't share details. But I reached out to a family member that had struggled with some of these same things, and this is like the fourth or fifth one that I had found out since I began talking about it. See, before, nobody ever talked about it. You weren't supposed to talk about it. And I reached out to this family member and I said, we're not going to let this be passed down to our kids. It's been passed down in our family too long. We're not going to let it. So we're going to hold on to our hope. We're going to allow peace in our life. We're going to allow the healer to heal, and it's not going to be easy. but we're going to be determined. The enemy tries, especially in this season, to take a season of peace and turn it into a time of hurt, distress, and pain. In Acts 16, we see a story of Paul and Silas. See, these two men were ministering the gospel of the kingdom, and people were being set free. Well, there was a woman that they came in contact with that was possessed by a demon. And this woman, and really the demonic influence inside of her, was hindering them. And the scripture says that Paul was annoyed. I love the New King James because it says Paul was annoyed. And so he turned around and cast the demon out. Man, you're annoying me. Come out in the name of Jesus. And so when he commanded the demon to come out, she was delivered. Men that were using her possessed state to make money became angry that she was delivered and not making them money anymore. And so they brought accusations against Paul and Silas, and they were arrested. The scripture says they were put in prison and their feet were bound in chains. And it says when they were in prison at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises. And when they did, chains fell off of all of the prisoners in the jail and the doors came open. I find it really interesting that none of the prisoners left. See, even the guard was so distraught that he almost killed himself. And Paul said, "Hang on, bro. We're all still here." And Paul began to minister the gospel of the kingdom to him, and the Bible says that his whole house was saved. Many times when we read this story, we say that their praises at midnight set them free. But I want to submit a new idea to you today. See, it's very interesting that they didn't leave when the chains fell off and the doors came open. I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon about praising God in your midnight and your chains will fall off and you'll be set free. But I think something different happened that night. See, Paul and Silas carried the Prince of Peace into the jail with them. Church, you may be going through a storm today. It may be one that you didn't bring on yourself, or maybe it is. You may be in prison today. You may have come to your midnight today. It may be your darkest hour today, but I'm here to tell you that even though all seems lost and the storm is raging, even in my midnight, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I may find myself in a prison that I didn't put myself in, but God has a purpose in the prison, and I can have peace in my heart and praise the God of all peace, not to get my victory, not to open the door, see, not to make me feel like I can praise in the prison to make me free, but I can praise in the prison because I know I am free. I know I am free. See, I don't think Paul and Silas were praising, hoping that the chains would fall off. I think they were praising because they didn't care about the chains. They brought their peace with them, and their peace was not contingent on the chain. It wasn't contingent on whether that door was locked or whether that door was open. And when the chains fell off, it not only fell off of them, but everybody around them. Amen. They began to praise in the middle, and there was such a peace in that place that the chains fell off and the door came open and they just sat there. Because I already know that I'm free whether that door's locked or not. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. The shackles don't faze me. The prison doors don't faze me. The physical situations and storms don't faze me because Jesus already opened my prison doors. Jesus already broke every chain. And when the doors open, it doesn't change my purpose, because storm or no storm, I've got a message to deliver. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the ever-living one. He's the one who was, is, and is to come. He's the one who rescued my heart. And he has brought me to a place of peace with God. And when I understand peace with God, I bring that message of peace on earth and goodwill towards men, that the shepherds begin to sing. I bring that same message everywhere that I go, whether it be a storm or whether it be calm. I bring a message that there is peace on earth, goodwill towards men. As the Christmas song says, I can go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. And that means that I'm at peace with God. Amen. Praise God.
We want to thank you today for joining us for our podcast. If you're in the Carlsbad, New Mexico area, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock.
We also invite you to check out our website at wolcarlsbad.com, where you'll find resources from Word of Life and a giving link if you would like to contribute. One last thing, if this message blessed your life today, share it with a friend. Have a blessed day, and remember, God is madly in love with you.